I'm Jeff Oak, and welcome to Taking Care of Your Business, Ideas for Leaders Who Are Humble, Hungry, and Smart. I'm absolutely delighted this morning to have Scott Possessor with us. Scott is one of Long Island's most respected business leaders with really deep connections with the Long Island business community. Scott, it's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Jeff. Pleasure to be here.
So the tables are turned a little bit. Usually you're interviewing me, and I wanted the opportunity to interview you. So tell us about your career in executive search. How'd you get into that business?
Well, I am the archetypal person that walked into a staffing agency after not being able to find the job I was seeking. I do have a degree in geology, Jeff.
Oh.
So as you can see, I use that every day. So I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't have a master's. I didn't have the money to go get a master's. So I was pretty poor, and I had to get a job. So I walked into a staffing agency, and the woman liked me right away. And she said, well, how would you feel about working here? So I said, I'll give it a try. And P.S., 40 plus years later, here I am. So
That's a wonderful story.
Kind of how it started, but I never intended to be in the staffing industry. I intended to find oil. I got out of college during the oil embargo. Remember you could get gas every other day?
Sure. I remember that well.
Yes. And so I figured I'm going to go out to Colorado and Wyoming and do something similar to fracking and find oil. But because I didn't have a master's degree and I didn't receive any career counseling, I didn't know I needed a master's degree, so I couldn't get a job. So I went to this staffing agency, and they said, well, we can use you because you're very scientific, and you can do the types of searches that other people can't do that have to do with science and so on. So that was always my my specialty area, and I went ahead and did that. And then I went to work for a firm from 78 to 81. And then I had my own company from 81 to 2001.
Yes.
And then in 2001, everybody was petrified by Y2K.
Sure.
And I actually wound up losing my business at that time. A lot of businesses went under in the staffing world. And then I went into the job market and started getting a salary and earning jobs in marketing and marketing communications and all the things I had learned from television. So I was writing press releases, doing all the related types of things. And I did that for about 8 or 9 years. And then I went to work for the LIA. I worked there for 6 years. I ran their outplacement division, which was a lot of layoffs at that time. And then I worked for Stony Brook University, and I was there for 3 years as director of outreach for Center of Excellence in Wireless Technology and the Advanced Energy Center. And then I basically came back to staffing. The economy got back on its feet after that horrible time that we spent in the early 2000s and right up to about 2009. And then I went back to the staffing business, and I've been in the business ever since.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Scott. I didn't know that whole story. Hmm. Tell us about Jobline. How did Jobline come to be? And how did you become the host?
Well, this is even more crazy, because first I walked into that staffing company and wound up in staffing. And then I was asked to do an interview on News 12 because I had been quoted in Newsday a number of times. This is when, if you remember, when Grumman was leaving Long Island, and they had 26,000 employees on Long Island, and that number was reduced to 2,600. So that 20,000 person migration to Florida, Melbourne, Florida, really hurt the Long Island aerospace industry. The supply chain was still in place, but the big companies were, swallowing each other up. There weren't as many opportunities. And I wound up sort of being an aerospace specialist for a while.
A little back to your scientific background.
Yes. And enjoyed that. That was a good sector. And then somewhere along the line, I did an interview with Scott Feldman from News 12. and on the Grumman's departure from Long Island. And I did it very well. I had a knack for knowing what to say in a media situation. And then I did a second one, and then the producers approached me and they said, "How'd you like to do a show on News 12 about
screwing
it up?" So because there was a huge nursing shortage, there were a lot of holes in the job market. And my job was to cover them and help. So we came up with a format, and I did a show. It was bad. The show was bad. I couldn't throw it to the break. I had no experience really managing a guest on a radio or television show. But thankfully, nobody saw the show. It was not really publicized. So unless
you had a chance to get all your mistakes out of your system.
Exactly what happened. And then after a second show, Al Idelson, who was the station manager at the time, he came out right out to the set after my second show, and he says, "You know, that was pretty good. I'd like to offer you a 1-year contract." And he said it right in front of everybody. So wow. I got my first 1-year contract at News 12, and then News 12 kind of changed hands. Al Idelson yielded to Pat Dolan, the son of the Dolans, who took over and is now managing both Newsday and News 12. Great guy. I loved working for him. And I was there for 24 years. And the great thing about News 12 was that they never told me what to report on. So I had complete, you know, if I thought something was interesting and that Long Islanders would benefit from it, I just had them on.
And you have a knack for that. You have a knack for honing in on important stuff, and you have a great voice. And I've noticed you're really good at asking questions. That's a rare gift these days.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I try. But the secret weapon, in case any of your listeners are curious, is you know something about everything.
Yes.
If you don't know anything, you can't ask good questions.
Sure.
So if you're going to come on the show and talk to me about a CEO confidence index, I better know what the hell is going on. Otherwise, I'm not going to know what to ask you.
Yeah. Let's turn to that.
The talent is one thing, but the preparation is another thing.
Sure. Let's turn to that. So our interactions, I interview with you, do an interview with you once per quarter, which I enjoy our time together and the opportunity to share insights on Vistage's CEO Confidence Index, and it's through your show that you sort of have the first exposure to that information for your listeners. But I want to get to that. But I'd like to first hear, what have you learned over the 25 years that you've been interviewing business leaders and thought leaders in Long Island? Can you distill that into a couple free takeaways for you?
It's a very good question, Jeff. Nothing has changed. So everything has changed, but nothing has changed. So everything looks like it's changed, but really things have not changed. You still find the job the same way you did in the year 1990, in the year 2000, in the year 2010. 75% of all people find a job through someone that they know.
Right.
So it's not the job boards and the career builder platforms and the LinkedIn platforms with the easy apply. It just doesn't work. Answering posts for jobs has always been a loser's game.
Right.
You know, your resume falls into a black hole. You don't get responses. It's very depressing for the job hunter. But surprisingly, with all of this new technology and all these new platforms, the same number of people that were getting jobs through people that they know in the 1970s are still getting jobs through people they know.
And so what's your, in light of that, it seems like there's some advice there that you've learned. What is that advice?
Well, I mean, you do need to know how to use all the latest platforms and technologies. For example,
yes.
I just did three consecutive pieces on how artificial intelligence can supercharge your job campaign. So
yes.
There's a lot you can get from AI. We've already been benefiting from AI for a couple of years now. We just didn't realize it. But now the job hunter at large can take advantage of more. You can just ask ask your favorite Gemini or, you know, your favorite ChatGPT or whatever you're using to write an article about a company. And therefore you get all this cool information, you know, that you can use, and it's kind of translated into an article for you and like a story. And yes, it gives you the story. So you can fortify your level of preparation using artificial intelligence and so on. So I'm not trying to say you shouldn't take advantage of all the latest technology, but I'm just trying to say no matter what they come up with, Jeff, 75% of all people find a job through someone they know.
Yes.
That has not changed in 40 years.
Yeah. I like what I'm hearing is a both and. You need to do your preparation. You need to do your homework. You need to prepare as if you didn't have a plan. And then you got to plan and execute on that through your network and through your relationships. Can you tell me one story of someone getting a job based on an interview that you did and a connection that you helped someone make?
Well, one of my best stories is one of my earliest ones. I had gone to high school with a guy by the name of Ted, and we used to watch Mets games together before I went and became a Yankee fan.
Yeah, I was going to say the Mets, first time I've heard that you've mentioned the Mets.
Yeah, for a few years when Seaver and Nolan Ryan, you know, were Mets, I couldn't resist. But then I went right back to the Yankees. I was born a Yankee fan.
So yes.
I went over to the Yankees, to the Mets in the 60s, and then I came back, and I've been a Yankee fan ever since. But he was a brilliant statistical guy, Jeff. So if a guy came up to the plate in the middle of the season and he was hitting 262 and he went 1-for-3, so my friend Ted, well, his batting average is 263.5. So I'd say, well, how are you getting that number? And he goes, I'm just doing it in my head. So even while he was having a conversation, he was coming up with these wonderful statistics. And he used to quote far more statistics than that. That's a simple one, you know, but about number of pitches thrown, number of strikes, and all this incredible information. And I said, you know, I don't care what you do for a living. You're in the wrong field. You should be a baseball statistician. I said, you love nothing more than baseball. You're not good at anything besides baseball statistics because you love it. You know, like the guy on TV that knows the price of all the groceries because he loves groceries.
Yes.
Know? So this guy loved what he was doing. He was great at what he was doing. And his big story was, well, I'm not going to apply to the Mets, you know, for a job as a baseball statistician. I mean, I'm never going to get a job like that. So I wrote to the Mets.
Wow. Good for you.
And
you made an introduction. That's a wonderful story. What else have you learned, Scott, from you? You interview all kinds of leaders across the business community and generally in Long Island. What else have you learned? So you've learned that everything has changed, but nothing has changed in terms of how people get jobs. What are one or two other things that you've learned based on this vast number of people that you've interviewed over the years?
Well, I've learned that people that can write are more dangerous. So when you have great writing skill, even though you might not think that that's the main thing you're doing, but even the quality of your emails, I mean, I don't just write an email, Jeff, I engineer an email.
Yep.
And when people get an email from me, maybe not you, you know, but when most people get an email from me, it's like taking a 2x4 off the woodpile, hitting them over the head. They get the point. They recognize that I can write my butt off. And there's nothing that I can't translate into words, especially given the moment or two it would take me to write an email. So I've always found that writing skill has led to nothing but success for me. The column you mentioned on LinkedIn that I write every week, try getting 5,000 article views per week, every single week. You know, so there has to be a reason that people keep reading it. Okay.
Yes.
And yes, I'm in touch with all the subjects, but I also write well. And this is something that people don't even know about me. You think, well, maybe he speaks well because he's on radio, but, you know, certainly he doesn't write. But I write at a very high level, and it's made a big, big, big difference in my career.
Yeah, and that is writing is such an important skill. Communication generally is critical to leadership and to success, and writing in particular. With the proliferation of social media, there are not the same kind of opportunities for sustained writing where you need to develop, you know, a thesis and support it and defend it. It's really a rare skill. And what you're describing is consistent with my own experience when I was managing people, is that I really worked with my folks to improve their writing skills, because as you say, it's so important. It's so important. One last lesson, Scott. One takeaway for our audience.
Internships.
Internships. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, the difference between night and day. So if you're a high school young man, woman, and you've worked at McDonald's and you worked at a hospital and you worked at a vet's office, and you want to become an accountant, you wasted your time. You need relevant internships. I don't care how hard you have to work to get them. There is no excuse for not having relevant internships. When my son needed an internship, because he's a lawyer now, he's a prosecutor. And when he was becoming a lawyer, he needed internships. And I had people on my radio show and television show that owned law firms, so that I could say, hey, listen, my son is going to be looking for an internship next semester. I need you to help him out. And they did. And my son had 4 internships, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. And when he was interviewed by NYU Law School and Cornell University and all the other law firms, they took him so much more seriously, Jeff. And I just think it's something that's overlooked a lot, you know, by parents. Schools know
yes.
how valuable it is, but parents don't. And you have to be able to pick up the phone and get your kid an internship.
Yeah, that's a great takeaway, Scott. I'm delighted to have Scott Possessor, host of Radio Jobline. Scott, it's been a pleasure. And we have a little extra treat. Scott, we share a love for Westies. And I got Lily, and I got Cooper.
Oh, you are one lucky man.
You introduced us to the breeder from which these two dogs came, and we just want to thank you, and I know how much you love DJ and Maris, your Westies.
Yep. I name all my dogs Yankees, and they are the sweetest, kindest, most loyal, just incredible dogs, and this is my fourth one. I'm up to my fourth
yes.
one. And if you think about it, if you know, a dog lasts 13, 14 years, you know, that's 52 years of my life that I've had a Westie.